from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the rewrap for Monday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB. And this morning, Mike Hosking's Hellberg picks. He reckons it's all pretty much a lock. Bitcoin explained. I know I've said this before, but I still have no idea what's going on. And now carbon trading is complicated too. But before any of that, the Peters court case. Is this complicated?
The information that got leaked was private. It was his and no one else's. And the fact it got leaked was wrong. The fact it found its way to a journalist was wrong. The fact it got published was wrong. He wasn't a crook. This wasn't a smoking gun. We weren't busting the mafia. It was an admin error from a government department that, when brought to the attention of the appropriate parties, was sorted. It should never have turned into what it did, and Peters has every right to be aggrieved. However, he's going too far on the money front. Chasing money's always struck me as being tacky, unless, of course, you were defrauded and you want your money back. In this case, money wasn't the issue. And chasing these people for some sort of monetary retribution over it overplays his hands. He looks needlessly vitriolic. He's owed an apology and details on how it happened and who was responsible, but he's not owed cash. Complicating this further, and where he needs to tread more carefully than most of the rest of us should we ever find ourselves in similar circumstances, is the dispute or indisputable truth that he is the Deputy Prime Minister, and as such is different to the rest of us. There are some things in life as a public figure that you simply have to suck up. The image of his party and the government are in play here, and as technically right as he may feel he is, the overarching feature that weighs heavily on proceedings as well is imagery. Having a leading figure of any government immersed in court battles doesn't look good or play well. Other people's interests simply have to be taken into account. Which doesn't excuse how the information got out. It was tacky and it was tawdry, and it gave journalism yet again a very bad name. For that though, he deserves a win.
Right, so on one hand, Mike's saying he shouldn't be pursuing this. On the other hand, he's saying he deserves a decision. This is where my morning started going really off the rails. I felt a headache coming on. Luckily, he was very straightforward about who he thought should win Hellberg Sports Awards.
Olympics, to my mind, beats everything else because Olympics are global, and things like a lot of the World Cups that we compete in aren't. Rugby being your classic example. I mean, as loved as the All Blacks and rugby quite rightly are, rugby isn't like golf or tennis or basketball. Anyway, to the finalists. Sportsmen. Now, wood chopping and croquet are featured this year, but let's be honest, they could never win. You could dominate croquet, you could be the Muhammad Ali of croquet, but you're never winning Sportsman of the Year. The person winning Sportsman of the Year this year is Brendan Hartley. Brendan Hartley has cracked one of the world's biggest sports. F1, love it or not, is massive. We have not had representation there for several decades. He got there on talent, not money. In a country with a massive motorsport tradition, this has been the great sports story of the year. Team of the year, Team New Zealand. The America's Cup brings this country to a halt. We have ticker tape parades for two things. The Rugby World Cup and the America's Cup. And the America's Cup, as the report has shown, is worth $1 billion and 8,000 jobs. It's not just a victory, but an economic boom. This category wasn't even a choice. Sportswoman Lisa Carrington dominates her sport, wins world titles, takes up new distances, wins them as well. You can argue Portia Woodman has a chance, so it's a little bit tighter this category, but Carrington wins. Coach Murray Jones, Ray Davies, coaches of Team New Zealand. All the reasons Team New Zealand win, the coaches win as well. In an Olympic or World Cup year, as I say, might have been tighter, might have been more debatable, but given it's not, what we have here, to be frank, in these long lists, looks at least in part a little bit padded out, which makes my picks easy as well as correct.
Of course, what Mike didn't take into account there is that America's Cup racing isn't really a sport. So that's where his logic falls down, of course. He's got some more logic on Bitcoin. In fact, it can't be very far away before our entire show will be about Bitcoin.
It's the Biz on the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ on News Talk ZB.
So Bitcoin, all over Twitter over the weekend, hit almost $20,000 before taking a 20% hit. Now, Stephen Colbert, wow. If I'd invested $1,000 in Bitcoin last week, today I would have still no idea how Bitcoin works. I can buy more stuff online using my American Express points than I can using Bitcoin. My 7-year-old has been asking a lot of questions this Christmas, and I'm worried that it might be the last year he believes that Bitcoin's real. Bank teller, nervous. Is this a robbery? Me, holding an invisible gun. Give me all your Bitcoin. 1,000 people own 40% of all the Bitcoin, could easily manipulate the market for good or ill. Yes, all of that's true. What is interesting about Bitcoin here is that we've got our first bit of property in the country for sale for Bitcoin only. We have a new currency called the Gostoso, which is on the rise in Brazil. It's a cryptocurrency. We have a company, a natural resource holdings company, small Israeli outfit that's invested in a group of precious metals mines, and it's seen its share price jump by 2,400%. Ha! 2,400%! And then I've got to get to the part where I tell you how that the mining of Bitcoin uses more power than 159 countries around the globe. The mining hardware uses approximately 31 terabyte hours of energy per year, compared with only 23 in Ireland. So in other words, it uses more power than all of Ireland, which is ridiculous. And of course, here's the other thing for the greenies, for the environmentalists. It creates a colossal carbon footprint. Whoa!
Yeah, so this is where, you know, the headache, it went from just a sort of a dull throb to a piercing kind of like spike in my brain when he started talking about Bitcoin's power consumption, and he wouldn't shut up about it either.
Yes, this Bitcoin business, so it creates a colossal carbon footprint, massive, massive carbon footprint. Every Bitcoin transaction, I hope I can explain this in a way that's clear.
No, you can't.
Every Bitcoin transaction uses up enough energy to power 9 houses in the US for one day.
So you're talking electrical?
Yes, power. Energy, power.
Right.
Right, so 9 houses. Actual power, as in like put your finger in a socket.
So it's invisible money.
Yep.
That doesn't exist.
Correct.
But it's using up actual lot of power. Electricity, which does.
With a massive carbon footprint. It's made up of lines of computer code, which are digitally signed each time they travel from one owner to the next, right? And this is where your blockchain thing comes in. It's like cracking a code. Think of cracking a code. It takes more than 1.7 billion attempts each time, using an enormous amount of computing power as well as electricity. So every time you do your Bitcoin trade, 1.7 billion attempts. That's why.
Well, why?
So it cracks. So you know you got the right code. That's where your blockchain comes in. So your block, the next block in the chain. That's why it's called blockchain. The next block in the chain has a code. And you need to crack the code. To crack the code, you need to do it 1.7 billion times each time you do the trade. And you think of all the thousands of trades that are being done, hence suddenly you're sucking power like there's no tomorrow. 101 Bitcoin with Mike Hosking.
See, it's one of those things that it's like when somebody's explaining what they do for a living, and you're with them up until a point, and then they get so bogged down in the minutiae of their job you keep nodding and you keep agreeing, but you don't really know what they're talking about anymore. It's a bit like, and then he just went on and on about the carbon as well. And at that point, my brain was hurting so much, it literally just started to shut down.
This is all about the Paris Agreement and saving the world and all that sort of stuff. But if you're a polluter, you buy carbon sinks on the carbon market to offset your pollution. And indeed, if you're a non-polluter, if you're somehow doing something that's wonderful for the environment, you are the recipient of it. So in other words, you can make money from it. So in other words, if you plant a lot of trees. Now, the carbon market's just cracked $20 a ton here. Now, the problem, as I understood it, with the international carbon market was it collapsed. So in other words, the price of a carbon sink was 35 cents because no one wanted any, because it's an invented market. It doesn't exist. It's like, if you think Bitcoin's complex, the carbon market's the same. They literally got up one morning and said, let's have a thing called a carbon market, and we'll buy and sell carbon sinks, left, right, and centre. Who wants to buy some? And everyone went, not me. And so suddenly the price went 35 cents. So what we've done, apparently, and James Shaw's busy drumming this up at the moment, he needs to see the price go higher, because, of course, the more you pay, the more allegedly you save the world and balance things out from climate change and stuff like that. But we have been prevented, New Zealand companies have been prevented from accessing the international carbon market. So in other words, we can only buy locally, which seems grotesquely unfair, does it not? Because you can buy something else into, you can buy shares all over the world. Why would you only be able to buy? It's like going, well, you can only, yes, you can use the internet, but unfortunately you can't click on anything outside of .co.nz. And imagine if they said that to you and the outrage that would ensue, and yet that appears what they've done to the carbon market. They've artificially jacked it up to make it something that it isn't, because it wasn't anything in the first place. Doesn't seem right, does it?
I've spent a lot of this morning.
I know. Your head hurting? I can tell through you.
I'm just confused about everything. I don't understand about Bitcoin. Every time you explain it, it just makes me seem more stupid than I already felt.
You've just got to understand the blockchain.
Carbon makes no sense. Key, I don't know why subjects are more important than others.
I don't understand
how some roads are faster than others, even though they look the same.
It's all just a big cluster. That's all it is, and thank God Christmas is around the corner.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand anything about anything. And they say that ignorance is bliss, and yet, sometimes I just find myself on the verge of panic because I understand so little about what's happening. I think I'm just going to go home and melt some cheese on things, and it'll all be better this time tomorrow. I will see you then. That was the rewrap for another day. I'll give you a nice present all wrapped up again tomorrow. See you then.